The AFL season kicks off tonight. We are very, very excited here at Triple M. And I've got a man that's probably a little bit more excited than us, Shane Hope from the West Australian. Good morning to you, mate.
Yeah, good morning. It's like Christmas over here in Melbourne. Round one is upon us, and there's going to be 90,000 at the G tonight, so I can't wait to get there.
Will you be? Oh, you're going to be there as well. Geez, now I'm jealous.
Absolutely. Yes, it's going to be fantastic. It's a great day for footy over here, so hopefully tonight the weather holds up. And, yeah, we got 90,000 there in perfect condition, so it should be a ripper with the Tigers unfurling their flag tonight.
So, all right, excellent. Well, let's run through a few of the teams, how we think we're going to go this year. Let's talk about Richmond straight out of the gate. Do we think we're going to see back-to-back?
I don't know about back-to-back. It's so hard to predict a grand final winner, let alone top four, even top eight. I think they'll be certainly around the mark. It's hard to see them dropping off. They look like a team on the rise, given so many of those players in the grand final side last year are so young and enthusiastic, and they sound like they've come back really hungry to have more success as well, and so have the senior guys who have been buoyed by some of the younger ones coming through. So I think they'll be around the mark, but to predict they go back-to-back, who knows? It's just so hard to tip in such a tight competition.
You're not wrong. What about Carlton? Are they finally going to find some form this year, or will it just be blue news for the Blues?
Well, the way they've been rebuilding, they've started with defence first, and it now sounds after a couple of years like they're starting to integrate some of this attacking stuff as well. So they've got Curnow up front, who's obviously a really exciting prospect, and Silvani with another year under his belt, some really exciting younger players coming through. So I think they're on the way up, but still probably not a top eight side just yet, the Blues.
All right, well, that's bad news for Blues fans then. all right, well, let's bring it home for a half a second. The West Coast Eagles, could this be their year? We've heard Nick Nat could be possibly returning. What do we think?
Yeah, it sounds like Nick Nat will actually play this weekend. That's all the noises coming out of West Coast, but we still got to wait for selection tonight. They might still spring a surprise on us, so we've been waiting a long time for him to come back, but I'm sure the Eagles fans will be up and about if he gets on board, and then that might help them get over the line against the Swans, who've got their own ruck issues as well with Tippett's retirement and Naismith going down with that knee injury. So massive first game for them at Optus Stadium, the big opening, I guess, in an AFL men's sense after the women played there and there's been the cricket and all that stuff. So that'll be a massive game on Sunday, but really tough to see the Eagles progressing forward this year, I would have thought, with guys like Mitchell and Matt Prittis retiring. They've got some younger guys that haven't really made their mark just yet, so their development's going to be crucial. I'm talking about guys like Duggan and Sheed that need to step into those midfield roles and really have an impact.
Hey, Shane, in the event that he plays, how much time do you think Nick Natanui will spend in the ruck, and what sort of division of labour do you think there'll be between him and possibly Lysette?
Yeah, I think it'll be split a lot more than it normally would. I think they'll try and ease him back in a little bit. Certainly won't be, say, he used to play 90-odd percent, I guess, in the ruck. I think he'll spend a lot more time forward just trying to ease back into the tempo of AFL footy, and it's so hot in round one, the heat's really going to be on. So I think they'll ease him back in a lot more. And Scott Lysett's a capable ruckman as well, so I don't think they'd have too many issues with throwing him into the centre square for longer periods.
Yeah, well, let's wrap it up with this one. I'm sure every Fremantle fan will be leaning in right now. How are they going to go? 2018, will this be their year?
Won't be their year. I can't see them winning the flag, if that's what you're getting at. But, to go from where they were last year to winning a flag, that'd be an absolute miracle, I think, even more so than Richmond last year. But still, I think there's some exciting signs for the Dockers, and you'll see that in round one with Brayshaw and Banfield debuting. You've got Adam Chera as well, their number five draft pick that'll come in later in the season. Wilson and Matera, a couple of new faces. Wilson particularly, I think, will be great for them running off half back and giving them that drive and precision ball use that they've probably lacked in recent seasons. So there are some exciting signs for Freo, but they're still in development mode. This is really year two of their major rebuild, so there'll still be some growing pains, but I think you'll have some good times as well.
Excellent. Well, I'm sure Freo fans will like the idea of rebuilding in a positive light for a change, but I don't know. I think Cliff still believes that they're a flag favourite for sure. Shane, thanks for the chat today, mate. We do appreciate it.
Yes, no worries, guys. Great to be with you.
I've got Gary Brennan in the studio, the mayor of Bunbury. Morning, mate.
Morning, Alan.
Plenty to talk about.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about you had a ribbon cutting last week. Time zone, very exciting to get one of those in Bunbury.
Absolutely. I was very impressed with the time zone network. I had a talk to the owner, and he's not only his local manager, but he's a national manager. And they were telling me how popular time zones are. And quite honestly, I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But when we did the ribbon cutting, he said, make sure when you cut the ribbon, you stand out of the way. There's about 60-odd people standing mm-hmm. in front of me. So we did. They were very keen to get inside. But, you know, just a few stats. They've got about 80 machines in there.
Wow.
And it is the latest time zone, the best in Australia. And they're currently employing 14 staff, and they'll go up to 20 staff. So great stimulus for our city. Great stimulus for our CBD, and more importantly, Al, as we discussed off air, it gives a lot of kids, adolescents and adults another option of things to do in our city.
That's it. It's very, very good news for Bunbury. Let's talk about, I understand that you guys are selling some buildings. How are we going with that?
Well, we've actually bought the South building. We finalised from a city point of view the purchase of that building last Tuesday night. So our CEO is now in sorting out the legals to with the offer and acceptance with the South family. The South family have had that building or parts of that building for more than 80 years. They've been trading in Bunbury all that time. Sadly, yeah, as we know, members of the family move on, pass away, and that's what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
The remaining members of the family are Perth-based, and they simply wanted to dispose of their assets. So they offered the building to us in the first place because it's right adjoining a fairly large car park for us. So the city will end up with a footprint in the CBD of about 6,000 or 4,000 to 6,000 square metres, which is a significant parcel of land.
And you get a brand new huge office, right?
My office is pretty cool, Al. I don't need a new one. The deputy mayor might get an office there. Who knows?
Oh, you never know, mate. Let's talk about the strategic community plan that you guys are talking about.
Yeah, look, we were very pleased to sign that off as well. We adopted that on Tuesday night. That's the end of about a 9 to 12 month process where we've had our offices and elected members go out to the public. You know, shopping centres and libraries and what have you over the past 6 to 12 months, inviting public to make comment on what they see the future of Bunbury, what things are important to our community for Bunbury's future. And we've come up with four different themes as a result of that. So the cultural lifestyle aspects of our city are very important to our community. And I must say, oh, these are all things that we probably knew, but just wanted to have them reinforced. So that's really important. Economic growth is important, obviously. We need jobs. We need economic growth to create jobs to keep people in our city and also attract new creatives into our city as well. The environment is very important, so we don't lose, and that's linked to lifestyle. You know, our beaches, our reserves, our bushland, all those things are really, really important to our community as they are to the city council. And then our role as a city council is to partner with the state, major players around Bunbury, within Bunbury, to provide that community leadership. So they're the four planks that came out of that strategic community plan.
Oh, let's just focus on the state for half a second. Tourism, we've heard a lot about that this week. It appears from, I don't know, from one man's perspective, they just want to send all the tourists over to Rottnest. How does that sit with you, being
well,
mayor of Bunbury?
It doesn't sit terribly well with me. We've got some wonderful facilities down here. And, you know, we, in Bunbury, the Bunbury Geograph, we're now looking at things from a sub-regional point of view. We've got a really terrific program running. There's the local governments from Bunbury, Harvey, Dardanup, Capehall, Donnybrook, Bridgetown, and I think it's Boynup, Boyup Brook.
Yep.
And Collie. We've all put in money to employ a young lady called Anissa Williams. She's the manager, and she's just launched a guide for autumn winter showing what we can do, what people can do, visitors can do in our great Bunbury Geograph area. And as you're starting to discover, Al, there's such a lot of things you can do from the beach, the restaurants, the cafes, the wine bars, the Dolphin Discovery Centre. Then you go into the Ferguson Valley, the Preston Valley, up into the Collie area. It's such a variety of activities. So when people come to our place down here, there's more than quokkas. There's more than bicycles. There's such a range of activities, and that's what we should be boasting more of. And, you know, we're getting more and more people recognising this part of the world is a great place to visit.
Absolutely, man. All else fails, we can always put you in a bit of a quokka outfit. People get a selfie with you.
You are out there, aren't you?
Thank you for the tip.
I'll do a deal. I'll wear the quokka if you wear the koala bear outfit.
Oh, that's fair.
We'll get Aaron in the dingo outfit.
Oh, there you go. You roped Aaron into it as well.
Well, you started this.
Gary Brennan, thanks for the chat today, mate. I do appreciate it.
Thanks, Al.
So, yeah, this is pretty big news, Aaron. Ringo Starr finally has been knighted.
Oh, why not?
I say finally because it seems like he should have been knighted a while ago. We've heard a couple of people be knighted that we've gone, are they getting knighted? That's
just because his last doesn't make it any less significant, Alan.
Well, I wouldn't be doing that impression too much. I've actually got him on the line. Ringo Starr on the line, mate. How are you? Wait. Sir Ringo Starr. How are you, mate?
Yes, hello there. Peace and love, everyone. Peace and love. Hi, welcome. Hello there. Who am I talking to?
You got Alan here, mate, and congratulations. What a huge honour. You must be ecstatic.
Oh, yeah. It's not too bad. I mean, it's annoying it took some 20 years after Paul McCartney. Here's Paul McCartney, everybody, going and getting his, you know, knighthood, and then it takes me so long to get one. I don't understand, do I? It's ridiculous. Just because I'm the drummer, no one likes the drummer.
No, that's not true.
No, they don't like the drummer. He's just up the back, just doing these and everything. And they're like, no, he doesn't know anything. He doesn't know what doesn't anyone remember Yellow Submarine?
I think a lot of people remember Yellow Submarine. I mean,
it's
not
everybody's favourite song, isn't it? We all live.
No, I don't think it is. No, but congratulations. This is a huge honour. Not everyone becomes a sir.
No, they don't. You're right. I'm quite happy that I've become Sir Ringo Starr. Why did I not get a knighthood for my work in television?
I don't know. That's a question you'd have to ask maybe one of the royals that gave you the power to be a sir.
Here comes Thomas the Tank Engine shunting along the track. Everyone loves Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yep. Sure do, mate. All right, well, we're going to leave it there, Ringo, but congratulations, okay?
Peace and love, everybody. Peace and love. And don't worry about that hack Paul McCartney. He doesn't know anything.
Oh, jeez. Thanks, Ringo.
Getting some good exclusives, Alan.
Well, you know, we're trying to get the best here at Triple M, and Ringo Starr there, I think he was happy about it. Sir Ringo Starr, there you go. Last night, I'm on the phone to my wife. I'm laying in bed.
Keep it G-rated.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it G-rated. And we're having a conversation. And now I've got a phone charger, and it's a bit frayed, like the plastic on it. And the reason why I mentioned that is because we were talking to her. I was chatting, and then I felt like this pain kind of shoot through my right arm. And on my left thumb.
Yep.
Which is, that's weird. Like, yep. That's not something that normally happens. And I'm sitting there and I'm on the phone to my wife and I'm like, so I've got to, I think I'm getting electrocuted. I don't know what's happening. I might be getting shocked from the charger because it's right there on the phone. So I put my phone down, quickly turn off the charger. So, you know, we don't want my house setting on fire.
Yep.
And I get out of bed, turn on the light. And I see what has been causing me the pain. Now, the pain was a shooting pain. I had the pain for about 6 hours, didn't get to sleep till about midnight.
No kidding.
Had a bunch of painkillers to try and fix it up. Jeez. And I thought to make it fun this morning, 13:27:10, you tell me what got me. What was the reason for this pain? I'll get a couple of guesses coming through now. Jason from Busselton, mate, what do you think it is?
I reckon it was a centipede.
I can tell you, mate, it was not a centipede, but good guess.
Okay, good on you, mate.
I've got Janet on the line. Janet, what do you think it was?
I reckon it might have been a spider.
A spider?
Yep.
No, it wasn't a spider, but good crack.
Oh, thank you.
Let's put another one on. Susan from Pelican Point, what do you think it was?
I think it might be a scorpion.
A scorpion?
Mm.
Well, I've got to tell you are absolutely correct, all right? Well done to you.
I've been bitten by one. It's horrendous.
I agree completely. It really, really hurt. I feel emotionally that I'm still feeling it. The pain's kind of gone, but we'll send you out that bottle opener keyring with the Triple M logo on it. There you go. Well done to you. Subiaco Oval, let's talk about this for a second. We're done with it now, pretty much. You know, we've got the brand new Optus Stadium. It's shiny. Yep. It's new. Subiaco Oval, we're kind of done with it. And we did hear last year they would be destroyed. Drawing parts of it for the new high school or whatever it is they're building there. And, it's a little bit of sadness, but, yeah, they are destroying a few of the stands there.
They are, mate, and indeed you're right. They are turning that and Kitchener Park there into a very exclusive school by 2020. And, mate, everything there, it's all got to go.
Now, I thought what they were doing was just destroying it all. But it turns out they're actually trying to sell a bit of it as well, make a bit of cheeky coin on the side.
It's the ultimate clearance sale.
Now, I understand you actually do a bit of voice work,
Aaron. Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
And including voicing the ad for the clearance. Is that right?
Check it out.
It's the biggest clearance sale that you'll see this year. Subiaco Oval's about to be demolished and everything has to go. There's unbelievable deals on some of the most sought-after items in West Aussie footy history, like Peter Matera's last hair, Dennis Cometti's cork, Basil Zempelis's nose, Dale Kickett's left hook, and the real termite-infested timber planks from the so-called premium seats on the wing. Limited to the first 500,000 suckers, our customers. There's also Ross Lyon's excuse book.
We can't wear our heart in the sleeve with leaders of the club.
Ross Lyon's compliment book.
You're quite brilliant, Shane.
Yeah, terrific. Terrific, Shane.
And Clive Waterhouse is here too. He's been here since 04, not going anywhere, ironically, much like his footy career. Clive will work for food. Speaking of which, there's heaps of great deals on food too. Stale pies, only $18 each. Day-old snapper and scungy chips, only $22. Icy cold cans of Coke, a steal at $14. Hurry, this sale must end when Subi Oval is as bare as the Dockers trophy cabinet.
$14 for a Coke. Did I hear that right?
Sounds about right. There's Subi Oval prices, mate.
Trends, brands, advertising. Marketing man Barry Urquhart
on Triple M.
Yes, and I have the man on the line, Barry Urquhart. Good morning, mate.
Good morning, Alan.
Howie, how you been?
Alan, I've been exceedingly excited. I'm going to be on the 5th and 6th of April going up to Durian Bay, speaking to a lot of local councillors, both elected and appointed members, on how they can market themselves, similar to the message that we're going to be talking about today, is how do you attract tourists, businesses and retain the residents in Greenbushes and the surrounding areas.
Yeah, Greenbushes, the big focus at the moment, in particular the lithium mine.
Yeah, the lithium mine, as I said last week, the problem that you got with lithium mining is that it is a growth area. The problem is there's a huge amount of lithium in the soils of Australia and also in Asia and more particularly in South America. So the product life expectancy and buoyancy of a lithium mine is relatively short. Now, they're not giving financial advice and investment advice to any of your listeners, but the reality is a three-year life horizon will be probably the best that you can expect, because as a former lecturer at Curtin University, I'm very sensitive to the fact that sodium is a kind of alternative source and retention for power. And there's research going on where you can take sodium, convert it into sodium hydroxide, and that is an effective retainer of energy for mobile phones and communities at large.
And you'd imagine a lot of the tech giants out there would be trying to find any kind of different source they can use for batteries so they're not pigeonholed into one part of the market.
Exactly. Now, here's the point. Now, Pennsylvania State University in the United States of America, they believe that their invention is going to buck this trend of excessive expense and very high temperatures. They're using what they refer to as a flow cell battery. And what they're going to do, put your mind around this, they're going to convert gas from ambient air, dissolve CO2 into water, add it into a container, and become an effective storage type situation. And people listening to this say, hold on, this is not possible.
Yeah, no.
Let me take you back into a case of history. I lectured at Curtin University for a number of years in management and marketing. I was at building 402 on the fourth floor was my office. On the ground floor, it was entirely occupied by a mainframe computer. Now, today, we don't use mainframe computers. Many of the people listening to this program would be being told and encouraged to retain their data in the cloud. Therefore, the technological development is increasing every 18 months. It halves in size and increases twice in capacity.
Wow, yeah, you're not wrong. Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Yeah, it's all stored online, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I think this is the critical issue. And let's not take a jump from lithium mining to Greenbushes. I want to take you into a historical situation. Prior to 2006, the single biggest selling brand of mobile phone was Nokia. Its head office and manufacturing plant was in Helsinki, Finland. It was so big and so economically important for Finland, it was generating 34% of that nation's economy. When all of a sudden Apple introduced iPhone, they went before the GFC and before the mining downturn into a recession and have been that way ever since, because they were reliant on one area. Therefore, Greenbushes should make itself appealing, attractive, converting itself from one product, lithium, to say, well, we're the centre of energy, and then tie in with Bunbury, because Bunbury, having a desalination plant, will have any amount of sodium, the base, or the salt, if you will, the base product of an innovation that is coming out of Curtin University and will probably be introduced into the marketplace within 3 years.
So to tie it all up with one neat little bow, if we can, Greenbushes and instead of just focusing Greenbushes, make it all about the whole southwest, I guess?
Exactly. So that you, what you're talking about is, well, hold on, we've got to modernise the appeal. People won't necessarily, as a young person, want to go to the wheat belt, but they can go to somewhere else that is appealing and attractive. Like, it's the sort of thing when we were doing some work similarly in New South Wales, I asked the people at Kempsey what they were famous for. And they said, rather disarmingly, Kempsey, famous? I said, you've got to be famous for something. And I found out that that is the home of the Akubra Australian hat. It would be in itself a magnet for overseas visitors to go to Kempsey just so that they could buy a hat which reeked in the one word of authenticity. Greenbushes has been for a long time there with mining, with wine, with entertainment, with tourism, and that's the sort of thing that we can expand the relevance and impact of a brand name called Greenbushes.
Love it, mate. Well, if you're famous for something, it's definitely smart advice. Barry Urquhart, thanks for your time today, mate.
Thank you, Alan.